The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I decided I would use my new super kung fu powers to fight crime. So I became the best cop in the world. I became the Powerful Nerdcast. Hello,
yes,
my friends.
We are back.
I am Corey, and joined with me is Christian.
Hello, internets. We are back. So we did not do a podcast last week. I want to just jump into that. But what we did do is we interviewed Doug Walker and John, what's his name, from Honest Trailers.
John Bailey.
Mm-hmm. Super awesome guys. We had media passes at MomoCon 2015. Mm-hmm. And we got some access to some cool dudes. Mm-hmm. John Bailey was not planned at all.
The funniest thing about John Bailey, and what was obviously, I think, the biggest surprise for me at MomoCon, because coolest thing about being a part of media and going to these conventions, one, we get to get in for free. That's just cool. We get to hang out with the fans, but we also have these things called media mixers, where we get to meet with the other people who make videos and have websites and stuff, and just there to cover the convention. It allows us to meet them, swap cards, have a good time. We were just hanging out at this table with these nice people.
Yep.
Guy just walks up. He's like, hey, nice to meet you. My name's John. I'm like, hey, I'm Corey. And I like do like a double take. He hands me his card. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then I look at his shirt. And he's wearing a shirt that says Honest Trailers. And I'm just like, you're the Honest Trailers guy. And he's like, yes, that's right. You know, he starts like getting, he gets right into it. He is so enthused about what he does. And that one was so fun about, you know, interviewing him. Because he was a natural at that.
Yeah, you know, I guess I didn't break it down for you. But a lot of the people were telling me, hey, this guy's the big guy in the room right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was
he had
like,
a little, I think, VIP sticker.
Yeah, yeah. That girl who was Phoenix, she told me about him. So I asked him to come over and surprise you. Mm-hmm. And it totally blew your mind because
you
knew who he was right away.
Now, like, I'm sitting there just drinking beer and stuffing my face with food. Good convention, man. Holy shit, all the trailers, man.
It was fun. Yeah. And he sat down and did an interview with us right off. You know, we just shot some questions at him and he answered them. He loved it. And he was just a great sport. And then Doug Walker and his brother,
Rob,
mm-hmm. that was great.
Mm-hmm.
We caught them at the end of one of their panels
mm-hmm.
and just asked them when they were doing their media tour. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, we're doing it later in the day. So then we set up that. And I'm not trying to talk highly of ourselves, but we pretty much ran that interview. There was a few other dudes there, but we pretty much ran that
shit. Yeah, like we got the whole thing set up, and a few people just joined us. Had a few questions of their own as well.
Yes, yes.
But it was really cool just to, you know, because this is the second time that we've actually met Doug. And a lot of people were, like, shocked. They're like, how did you meet the Nostalgia Critic? Nostalgia Critic Doug Walker is such a cool, down-to-earth guy. You know, like, his character that he plays, Nostalgia Critic, does not reflect who the real Doug is whatsoever.
Literally, the first time I met Doug last year at MomoCon, I was a little starstruck. Like, I could not talk to the guy. Couldn't handle it. This year, I was like, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to talk to him like a normal guy. And he was really easy to talk to. And he's really good at talking to people that aren't comfortable talking to him because he's Doug Walker.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the best things about him. Mm-hmm. He really, like, he'll... If you mess up, I remember at some of the panels, some of these people were so nervous and they'd ask like a question that was worded a little wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of like make fun of them, he would just riff off the question they were trying to ask. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really good at not turning the audience against that person. You know, he's really good at crowd work too.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't see that him interacting with the fans in his videos, but man, he's great at that too.
Yeah. When we actually went to the Nostalgia Critic panel,
uh-huh.
like they did a fantastic job with everyone there. You know, he knows exactly what to say to the fans and just,
he's probably answered all those questions. A thousand times.
I mean, he's a class act guy, but that was like the difference between those two interviews. Like the reason I liked the John Bailey one so much is because, and I think it felt more natural for me is because I'd never seen John Bailey. Like, you know,
you don't know what he looks like.
Yeah, you hear his voice. So it's just, I was still like getting over the fact that this guy does these voices. But when you hear them come out of his mouth, it's just, it's insane. The guy does one of the best Christopher Walkens
I've ever seen.
And it's not so much like the, you know, just the standard, you know, hey, Christopher Walken. It's that final, like, come on. Like, that come on that he does with Christopher Walken is so perfect. And I can just imagine this guy practicing this for hours in front of the mirror. But boy, does he got it pegged down, man.
Yeah, he was telling us how he'll come in and do taglines for movie trailers. Like, let's say they need a little part redone. Because, like, let's say the line was, the actor says, the movie trailer's going out. And then he's like, yeah, and that shit's for real. But then they decide they don't want to use shit. So he'll come in and redub that person's voice. And they don't want you to come in and do a fake version of that person. Mm-hmm. Like he was saying with Arnold, he's done Arnold a few times. It's not the, like everyone can do that. You have to be the actual person. And he says like, that's where the difference is between being a professional voice actor and just being some imitator, mm-hmm. you know? And he has it down and he's a professional. He is a professional voice actor. So, and you see the difference. Cause like you said, it's Christopher Walken was fucking spot on. Mm-hmm. We just threw it like literally at him. We were like, what were your favorite voices? He's like Optimus Prime and Christopher Walken. We're like, okay, well, let's do Optimus Prime and Christopher Walken leaving a party. He's like, okay, I got it. And he just riffed those lines. Mm-hmm. That's like my favorite part of that interview. It was
great. I love that interview, too, because there are a few people left in the room, and they just – we couldn't keep ourselves from laughing.
Oh, yeah. You can hear us in the back.
Yeah, there's a few parts in that video where we do just end up cracking up. You know, really just a really great guy, class act. He was really, really fun. And we met so many other people. I got to meet one of the key writers from one of my favorite cartoons as a kid, Gargoyles.
I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah. I was just like, God, this is such an amazing convention.
They just released a death battle of Beast versus the head gargoyle from Gargoyles.
Really? Yeah, wait, when you say Beast, you mean X-Men Beast or Beast from Beauty and the Beast?
I mean X-Men Beast.
X-Men Beast. X-Men Beast. Okay, so Blue Beast versus Goliath. Goliath would destroy him.
Spoiler alert,
way Goliath wouldn't just... Goliath was voiced by Keith David.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know...
I don't know who that is.
I'm trying to see. He did the voice of the Arbiter, I believe, from Halo.
Okay.
And he used to do the Army commercials. But he's been in a lot of other movies. Like, he was in John Carpenter's version of The Thing from the 1980s with Kurt Russell.
Yep.
And just he's just got such a good, commanding voice for that character.
Very good military voice. I think I remember those Army commercials that he used to do. And yeah, but overall, we had an awesome time at MomoCon.
Yeah, it was great.
And also, though, but MomoCon did get a lot of negative press.
Yeah.
I kind of want to address that,
We're not
too.
Going to be the authorities on this.
Because we didn't experience it.
Exactly. There was this one famous cosplayer, and by famous, I mean she's kind of like a C-list internet celebrity.
Let's just be honest. She's she's a hot chick that likes dressing up for attention.
Yeah.
And she's gotten good at it.
Yeah, really good. I've looked at, you know, it's funny because a lot of the controversy behind this girl, I believe her name is Luna Laney. Is the fact that her costume didn't meet the regulations of MomoCon
because
she was showing off way too much skin.
Let's just say conventions have different standards.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are family friendly and some of them are whatever you want as long as you're not breaking the law.
Yeah. This was family friendly.
This is a family friendly one. Dragon Con is literally like as long as you cover up your nipples, you're good.
It's good.
But, you know, being family friendly, she was breaking the rules.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty much wearing a shirt that ended like right here.
Mm. She looked like some sort of like super cop
with boobs. With
like barely anything. Like seriously, like that's when I see her cosplay, it's like the only thing my eyes are drawn to. And it's impossible not to because there's so much emphasis on them being pushed up and in your face. Now, a lot of the controversy behind Luna is that she went to the convention, everything was fine, and they told her to remove her costume. She got to meet one of the higher-ups of MomoCon, and they said, nope, everything's fine. When she was going over, I believe, to another building, which I believe was the Omni, which was across the street, the security there is what actually stopped her, and then they asked her to leave. And then she decided to put up a message on her Twitter and Facebook.
She decided to throw a hissy fit.
Basically, yeah, and it just sort of destroyed the reputation of MomoCon, you know, ever since, and you know, when there's a big celebrity like that, or C-list celebrity like that, you know, they have a lot
celebrity
of followers.
Within the community, because I'm not trying to degrade her by calling her a C-list celebrity.
By no means, you know, like, I think we're C-list internet celebrities, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't totally want to be more famous than this. I don't want to be more famous.
Well, yeah, but she decided to go up on her Facebook and cause all
this
controversy.
She made a video about how MomoCon 2015 bad experience. I think you can like Google
it. She even claimed that she was sexually harassed at the event, which that's not to be taken lightly. If that did happen, I feel for her. That's absolutely a terrible thing to happen to her. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't there. I really don't know what went down during that situation. But the problem is now, like, her followers, which apparently there's a lot of them, you know, and that stuff spreads fast. They're already just like, ban MomoCon. We're done with MomoCon. You know, it's just, it's a terrible sexist event. And it, from my experience there, it wasn't that at all.
So
it was nothing but friendly people.
You're saying no one touched your ass, Corey?
Not at the convention.
So, yeah, but here's the thing. You know, like you said, did you just fucking wink? The thing is, I don't take it lightly either, the mm-hmm. idea of someone sexually harassing someone at those cons. But first of all, I think that those people that do that are, first of all, trash. But second of all, if you're going to a family-friendly con, it's not she's dressing that way, so she's asking for it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, you really got to try to mimic your environment a little bit. And if mm-hmm. you're the sexiest, biggest boob bitch in the room, you're going to get the most male attention. Mm-hmm. And male attention comes in a lot of different forms.
And you're going to get a lot of male attention at an anime convention. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these, I'd say 70% of the males in that building probably haven't even seen a female figure before. So seeing her walk in must have really just set off their radars.
Yeah, and they don't know how to handle themselves, maybe, you know? Mm-hmm. And who knows? I just feel like, you know, shame on her for doing so much negative publicity mm-hmm. for MomoCon.
Like, I think she could have handled that in a much better way. But again, if something really did bad happen to her, I'm really sorry it did.
You know? Yeah, absolutely.
It's such a great event, especially for the city of Atlanta. It's slowly becoming one of the biggest conventions.
It's my second favorite. Mm-hmm. DragonCon, MomoCon, and then AWA.
And I never expected that. I always figured AWA, Anime Week in Atlanta, was always going to be like my favorite. But, you know, DragonCon, nothing touches DragonCon.
I think the only thing that gets close to it's like San Francisco's, what is that, Comic-Con,
which I've never even been to yet, but a lot of people say that's like just standing in line a lot.
That's what I've heard. I've heard Dragon Con's actually better because it's not as crowded.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but man, if you're literally going to go as Big Boob Pikachu to these things, like mm-hmm. what message are you sending out?
And
like,
I mean, what do you want people to think, you know? I mean, clearly if you're going to dress as a Pikachu wearing a top and a skirt and that's all, it's like, you want people to think you're sexy. You want them to ogle you a little bit. That's the whole point of that.
Because I've seen amazing cosplays mm-hmm. that are done by females and show off the female form, but aren't sexual necessarily. Yeah. So, you know, she's choosing to go that route mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And then when she gets the attention, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what's right and wrong. There's a lot mm-hmm. of gray area in that situation. Yeah. And I'm not going to decide what's right mm-hmm. and wrong, guys.
And the fact of the matter is, you know, even if she did follow policy, which according to her costume, she did technically follow the policy. If the organization says that it doesn't.
Because there's gray area. Mm-hmm. And they made the call on site and mm-hmm. she didn't like it.
Yeah.
And it's a shame she had to drag MomoCon. Mm-hmm.
I really hope it's not going to have like a big negative effect next year.
Whatever.
You know?
I'm not.
If anything, they're probably going to be a little more, you know, restrictive on the rules. You know.
Yep. You know, I remember back in the day when we first started doing like AWA. What was mm-hmm. that, like 2004? Like way back when?
It was a little farther than that, but yeah, in that ballpark, 2007, 6 in that area.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So. Whenever we were doing that, I remember the big controversy was weapons.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't know how to define people's fake weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of changed. Now they have systems, like they put tape or something, or they mm-hmm. put like
or sometimes they put like a little like sash or something.
Yeah, they put something on there to indicate this is not mm-hmm. a real metal weapon.
You know, funny story, a couple years ago, and this is, I can't believe I'm bringing this up again. It's the only One Piece character I've ever cosplayed as, and of all the characters from One Piece, it was Usopp. Because I was obsessed with the character. I thought it was really funny. And I actually had the big Kabuto weapon, the big green slingshot. And they actually tagged that in like 3 different places.
Yeah.
It was like the most fragile, like you couldn't hurt anything with this weapon. So it just shows, you know, they get really into it. You know, my good friend Ben, he's really into making really like high quality cosplay weapons. And he went as Zoro a number of times from One Piece. And the swords that he creates just from wood look realistic after he paints them and everything. He even makes like the sheaths for them, like out of wood that fit perfectly. Like that's his thing. And I remember like the minute he walked into the building, he immediately got bum rushed by the security and they had to like tag every single one of his weapons, which the negative to that is like whenever he does a pose or something, you got those tags all over the place. It just doesn't look as cool.
It doesn't look as cool, but at the same time, it's a good safety measure because you can't have someone walking around with real katanas.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first year we went there, they didn't do that. So there were people walking around with real katanas.
Although I remember you tried to go as Kratos,
yes.
the god of war, yeah. and they wouldn't let you go without a shirt.
Yeah, so I put on a Hawaiian shirt with no sleeves, and I was Hawaiian Kratos.
Because
mm-hmm. I was like, whatever, I'm still
yeah, whatever.
I shaved my head
you
for
had
it
the Blades
and
of Chaos, and it was Kratos on vacation. And even, remember our good friend Cody?
Yes.
Hard Gay?
Oh.
This is a video you can probably still look up,
too. Oh, my God. Let me see
really
if I can
awesome.
Look up the title of that real
but
quick.
But Hard Gay is this character from Japan, this super, super blatantly gay character who kind of looks kind of like, I guess, a...
He's like a wrestler, though. It's
yeah,
like Hulk Hogan's Japanese gay wrestler.
Basically, yeah. He's got, like, the chained collar and, you know, all leather and everything. And
okay, here it is. AWA Hard Gay 06. You can look up that video.
This is a video of us before we even got close to doing the Super Kami stuff. If you just want to see us regularly hanging out like at an anime set. And it's funny thing about that. We just made this to make this.
Yeah, we were just dicking around making videos.
Yeah, like we didn't have any intention of doing anything big with that. But I'm glad that that video is still there. And
oh
just
my God.
The hilarity of when he walked into that building and just threw his crotch out and just yelled. Just the whole building stopped for a second and turned, and it was crazy. And it didn't take 30 minutes before they kicked them out.
That video has over 10,000 views.
Yeah,
way
that's
back
right.
In the day.
Yeah.
43 up, 5 down.
We need to take that back.
No, we don't.
What, you don't want Hard Gay on our channel?
Nah, I'm good.
That's such a funny video.
It's 4x3, too. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's back in the day. We recorded things in 4x3. Wow. So anyway, MomoCon 2015. Awesome. Highly recommend you guys go to anime conventions.
Mm-hmm. There's just so much to do. Lots of cool friends to
meet. It's like an endurance race in some ways because you have to endure being around all these people and you have to walk a lot. So you get tired, but at the same time, you're surrounded by things you like. And it's like it's like the nerd equivalent to Hell Week that the Navy SEALs go through, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, you know, I already met a few people that are probably going to try to be on our podcast show and everything. And they were great guys. Like, I remember I went on Sunday and we shot the shit about Gundam for like an hour and a half. Just sat down, had some food, and just relaxed. Like,
yeah, I remember I was talking to those guys for a while about like business stuff and how they want to grow their platforms because that's kind of like what I'm into. And then all of a sudden you and them started talking nerdy and you were so nerdy I kind of zoned out and took a nap in the corner and then woke up an hour later and you guys were done talking.
Yeah, I mean, when a cute girl comes over to you and starts talking about anime, you know, you got to keep talking back.
You're like, oh, like, this is rare. Yes, let's continue this conversation. So here's a girl that's actually vertically challenged who's doing an Ewok. But
that's adorable.
That's not super sexualized.
No,
though.
It's not at all. It's cute. It's Ewok-y. And compared to what Luna was doing, you know, night and day.
Night and day different. You
know? Like I said, it literally pushes them up into your face.
She had to, like, struggle for air.
Mm-hmm.
Those bitches.
And like I said, I looked at some of her old cosplay. It's all that. It's all just barely wearing anything. And just look at my boobs. You know, just justify my existence, please.
Please, you know? Pay attention to me.
She watches this, she's going to be pissed. I'm sorry,
Luna. Sorry.
I'm sure you are a good cosplayer, but I mean, you know.
Probably a horrible person, though. Yeah.
Probably. But that was MomoCon. It was fun. You know what's not horrible?
What is not horrible?
Is the best movie of the summer, which is not Ex Machina.
Okay.
It's not The Avengers Age of Ultron, and it's definitely nothing else that's coming out.
And
it's
how much did it cost? How much did it cost to watch?
It's
nothing. Free!
It's free! It's on YouTube, and it's Kung Fury.
Check this out immediately, guys.
Oh my God. This movie is so much fun. And how long ago was it that you showed me the trailer?
I don't remember.
This?
I know pretty much as soon as the trailer came out, I was on top of it. But you can even, if you want to get like a precursor to what this movie is before you try to sit down and watch all 30 minutes of it, watch the trailer. And it's Kung Fury. And I don't know. Let me see. It came out. That can't be right. The original trailer probably came out a long time ago. They're re-releasing trailers, but I see a year ago the trailer came out. And what happened was this movie was crowdfunded on either Kickstarter or Indiegogo. I forget which one. They're kind of the same thing. And the thing earned like a ton of money, like over $500,000. And this thing is full of special effects, so I'm sure it took all that money to make it. And they even got David Hasselhoff to make the music video for it. The trailer's amazing, and literally something action-oriented happens in that movie every, like, 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, it's not only funny, but there are also moments where I was like, okay, that is kind of badass.
It's so good.
But it's an extreme tongue-in-cheek parody of 1980s movies. I like to say it's more 80s than even an 80s movie is. It's so
80s.
Extreme, and it's all about this one cop who gains these kung fu superpowers, and he ends up having to go back in time to stop Hitler from taking over the world with his evil arcade machine robots and his Kung Fuhrer power.
He's not the Fuhrer. He's the Kung Fuhrer.
The Kung Fuhrer. The whole movie's fantastic. And it's not just the emulation of like 80s style. It's just like
the soundtrack.
The soundtrack.
Oh my God.
Soundtrack is so good.
Yeah, it's really good.
You know, it's one of the few times, like, as soon as I like finished watching it, I looked it up and I like listened to the whole thing. The soundtrack is longer than the movie, dude. It's like 46 minutes long.
Wow.
It beats it out by about 15 minutes. And The thing I love most about it, the soundtrack, is it's distinctive. It gets stuck in your head, and it's the type of thing you'll remember. And it makes me look down on all these other modern movies that have just such stock music for their movies. Like, do you even remember a single music track from the Avengers? Or, like, a theme that gets in your head at all? None. But you remember the Jurassic Park theme. You remember the theme to Back to the Future. You're going to remember Kung Fury's.
Yeah, scoring is kind of what they call it when you're making music for a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the score of a movie is so important. Like, I kind of remember what the soundtrack of, like, Pacific Rim was. Mm-hmm. That always seemed really interesting to me.
I basically just remember the main theme from
the
that
main
one.
Theme. Yeah, that's probably a good way to put it.
It was that scene, I think, where the robots went out for the very first time.
Into the water,
And then it picks up, and it's just, you know, that's really important to the identity and the atmosphere of a movie.
Yeah, and this one takes it to level 10, though.
I mean, like, it was nuts. What I loved about it, too, when we were watching it, like, the first 5 minutes, like, I had to pause it at one point, because I was laughing so hard, like, I couldn't see, and I couldn't breathe.
Yeah, like, you had kind of forgotten about it, because it had been a while since I was like, did you know Kung Fury came out? And you're like, what? Like,
wait a minute.
You remember that trailer? You're like, they made that into a movie? Because we just thought that trailer was just going to come out and disappear and just be some amazing piece of internet history. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, they raised, like, I got to look up how much they raised. Mm-hmm.
They did a fantastic job with it, too. And
it is polished as hell.
And, I mean, they got some big people on board, too. And I believe the guy who made it, I believe he's Swedish. And and everybody else that's in the movie, aside from, like, Hasselhoff and everything, they're all just, like, his close friends. Like, there's the character of Barbariana. The barbarian Viking chick who rides on the giant wolf, that's like the director and writer's girlfriend, and they just put her in costume and stuff.
Okay, so they raised $630,000 to make this, and I guarantee you they used every penny of it.
They had to, because those effects were really good. You know, it was not like, you know, I believe that's Kung Fury and a Viking riding on a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but, like, it looked good enough. It looked better than the shit you see on Sci-Fi Channel.
I think it looked just as good as some movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, but it's corny because it wants to be. Mm-hmm.
It's very self-aware, beyond self-aware.
Yeah, I bet it could be even better looking if it wasn't still trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also things that just look, like, ridiculous, like when Kung Fury's fighting all the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
He does it, like, backwards bicycle kick, and, like, that's not real. You can't physically do that, but it still looks real enough.
Mm-hmm. And that whole scene is really well done, too, because it's, like, I don't want to say it's one continuous shot. There's probably a few cuts in there. But it's just like a whole, like, side-scrolling shot, kind of like an old video game, of just seeing this badass kung fu cop just beating the crap out of these gas mask Nazis. And of course,
what's some of your favorite lines? You know, whenever he's talking to the commissioner and he's like, "You know, I'm the only one that could have taken out that, you know, that arcade machine."
I love that one. I love all the puns that he makes because they're so stupid. Like, there's a scene where he's fighting against the Nazis and he rips his head off and his spine, and he's like, something about, like, you don't need your spine, it's holding your back.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, that's so good. There's a scene where these two Nazis are arguing about their mustaches and which one is the right one, and then suddenly Kung Fury's right next to them with a big tank that he picks up and just slams down on top of him, and he's all like, "Thank you." Or, like, the knock knock, "Who's there?" "Knock." Cools. And then he punches him. It's so clever and ridiculous. The costumes are great. My favorite sequences, though, are the most, like, subtle, which are all just the random shots of, like, the city at night. Like, it gives off that huge Miami Vice vibe.
It has the what was that GTA game that took place in
Vice City?
It has a very Vice City sort of feel, you know, but that was, again, in the 80s, so that makes sense. Yeah, but those, like, palm trees, you know, and the fluorescent buildings behind
boats going across the water. Just something about that, like, really was funny to me, and I couldn't put my finger on it. Like, that opening 5 minutes, like, I, like, had to pause the video. It was that funny. Not to the part that made me pause was when they introduced the character of Triceratop, because I was like, wait a minute. There's a character in this movie who's half human, half Triceratops, and his name is Triceracop, and he's barely in the movie at all. He's like the new partner of Kung Fury.
He works alone, it kind of
plays on that whole, like, the hardened cop who doesn't want a partner thing, but they don't really bring that up until the very end of the movie, where you have Kung Fury who's fighting against the Kung Fuhrer and his giant army of Nazis, and then suddenly they're joined by Vikings, a Tyrannosaurus Rex, his buddy Hackerman, who transforms into a robot, and then of course you have Thor of Asgard, who, if you thought Thor from the Avengers was awesome, this guy's freaking great. It's just this giant jacked dude who, like, what I think I love most about it is because they're like, we just want you to constantly flex the entire time. Like, his pecs are constantly moving. Yeah. And he's always, like, just constantly, like, kissing his biceps and stuff. It's really funny. Just, oh, so ridiculous.
It's hard to watch, but in a good way.
It is. It's weird because, like, I watched it with you and I was done. I'm like, all right, that was pretty good. I really liked it. I got some great laughs out of it. I'll probably never watch it again. Last night I got home from work, got on the computer. I was like, I want to look at a clip real quick. Watch the whole thing again. And I didn't even intend to. It was just like, ha-ha. And then I just sat back and just kept watching the whole thing again. It's just clever as shit.
So polished. Mm-hmm. It's really good. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. I think Corey does too. Go watch Kung Fury.
If I can purchase the soundtrack, I'll buy it.
Yeah, like put that shit on iTunes. Mm-hmm. I'll buy it.
I mean, they did put it up on YouTube, so that's like the next best thing. But yeah, I'd totally download it or buy it. Just, it's so good.
It is good.
I love it. And what I loved about it, too, is as soon as it was done, the first thing I did was I looked up some like synth 80s, like just instrumentals only. 90% of the videos, top 10 comments, all about Kung Fury. That movie has reinvigorated the love of 80s synth pop in the instrumental music, and I think that's great because it's cheesy. It's really cheesy, but because I grew up in that era and I was sort of used to it, like, I really like it. I can't explain it, and it's really weird when I tell people, like, I like that type of music because, like, this is so crappy, but I love it.
And everyone makes fun of the 80s for the music, mm-hmm, in a lot of ways.
But, I mean, if it were up to me, I would have been born in 1970, so that way I could have experienced 10 through 20 all the way through the 80s. I think that would have been so nice.
Yeah, but with no internet and shit, fuck that.
Fuck the internet. I don't need the internet. I got the freaking 80s, man.
No, you need the internet.
That's all you need. No, it's so amazing. No. So check out Kung Fury. You can just literally go to YouTube, type it in. It'll be the first thing that pops up.
So one of the other badass things that came out this week was this episode, the latest episode of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Oh, dude. Oh, so my God. What is the joke of Game of Thrones? It is that there's never actually any zombies or dragons. Mm. And they talk about them a lot. And it's like practically a show that's supposed to be about zombies, the White Walkers and the Whites and then the dragon. But then there's never any. But at the end of the last season, or not in the last season, the end of the last episode, I think there's two episodes left. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much Jon Snow versus the White Walkers and the Wildlings. You know, Jon Snow went and teamed up with the Wildlings, and then they fight the White Walkers. And the biggest revelation is that it looks like Jon Snow's sword is actually Valyrian steel, mm-hmm, which seems to be...
What's the name of the sword? Isn't it Longclaw?
Longclaw or something like that.
Yeah, it has like a specific name.
I have to look up who gave it to him. I think it was his dad that gave it to him. And obviously Jon Snow's like a very good fighter because he had the Stark family taught him how to fight and everything. Mm-hmm. Man, there's so many characters in that show. Like even trying to talk about Game of Thrones is like daunting in some ways. Cause like, oh, and then it's like a lot like Lord of the Rings. You can talk about what we're seeing now, but then you can go back like up to three generations. Cause there's history in other books that explains how the families came to power Game of Thrones is like its own little thing. You know, I can't even get into it in that way. But you saw the final battle. What'd you think of it?
Oh, I loved it. It was they clearly poured so much of their budget into that final scene. It literally looked like a big budget Hollywood movie, especially the scene where all the zombies came crashing through into the wall and then jumping over and just destroying everyone. Just so unapologetically violent and so crazy. And it's so disturbing. You know, the White Walkers themselves, I think, are probably even more exciting than any of the dragons that I've seen in the show, but that's because they're basically necromancers. Like, their whole thing is that they kill people and then they immediately bring them back to the life and then bring them into their army. And that was, I think, to me, the most effective scene of the episode, aside from just the ridiculous action, was that final shot where Jon is on the boat and they're slowly going away, and then I think he's called the Night's King or the Night King.
The Night King, I think. Yeah,
he comes up and then he just raises his arms, and then everybody that they just murdered just comes back to life as zombies and just stares directly at them. As there's no dialogue, it's all quiet, it's so atmospheric and ominous. I loved it. That might be my favorite scene from all of Game of Thrones.
He's called the Night's King.
Yeah, yes. So awesome. And there was
he doesn't even have any lines.
No, I don't think any walker has ever spoken.
No, I don't think. No, they even shriek. I don't even think they shriek or anything.
Like that one guy who came in and fought against Snow, and then he was defeated by him. That scene was also really good. Just the shocking moment, like when he swings that and then he just stops it, boom! Yeah. And they're both like, oh, crap! And he just deflects it back and boom! Shatters him into ice. Yep. That's just so crazy. That also shows they are going to be able to at least stand something of a chance against
them. Well, in the past, they beat them before. That's why they built the wall, because mm-hmm. they had a battle with them. They beat them back, and then they built the wall. Mm-hmm. The wildlings say it was because of them, but I think it was actually because of the White Walkers mm-hmm. and the Whites. And that's what they call the zombies, Whites. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think you said this to me once we were talking about this before we started recording. It's like the zombies will fight until there's nothing but bones, you know, like they're very...
That, something about that was really creepy to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times you see zombie movies, it's when they become a skeleton, they can't, like, do anything.
Because they physically have no muscles.
Yeah, but anymore. In this show, like, it's even magic. even when they're skeletons, like, the magic controls them in a way that, like, they're going to crash through walls and they're just so terrifying. Like, if you shoot a skeleton in the skull with an arrow, it's not going to do anything. No. It's just going to keep coming at you, and that's just so disturbing.
You pretty much have to cut his head off.
Who is that one character who's that big giant guy?
I don't know. He's just a giant. He's one of the giants.
Okay, like, because, you know, I haven't caught up entirely with Game of Thrones, but I don't mind spoilers. While watching that scene, that one guy who came out of the hut and just started stomping on them and then picking up the log and smacking them, like, who's that guy? Let's get, like, 10 more of these guys in here and just, like, start messing all these guys up. That would be great.
Yeah, the giants are actually a race that's almost wiped out. They seem to be a very thinly mm-hmm. available race you want to call them the allies. There is no allies in Game of Thrones. There's just a bunch of different factions.
There's like, you could say, I don't even say there's good and evil. You know, it's kind of black.
Everyone's just working to become powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of what they're all
chasing.
Some
of them go a little extreme than others, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things I've really liked about this season is that the Queen, Cersei, is that her name? Or the Queen that's at King's Landing.
Dude, you're asking the wrong dude.
Yeah, I know. See, I fucking need to learn all these names before I try to talk about Game of Thrones.
You're the got guy.
Yeah, I love watching it. I can't learn everyone's name. Mm-hmm. You know, this shit's deep.
There's so many characters in this.
But yeah, you haven't really seen how the queen there helped this religious faction come into power. And then they kind of turned on her because, you know, she fucking her brother and doing all this dark shit.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, look, you're going to jail too. Because she was just going to get the new queen that had just married her son taken away because her brother is gay. And that's like against the church rules, you know. And anyway, it kind of shows you that even back in the day, they had to watch out for religion taking
back
over.
Back in the day with dragons and zombies.
Well,
and
you know, it's like medieval times. It's kind of, you know, back in the day-ish. But yeah, Game of Thrones is awesome. If you haven't seen the last two episodes coming up, you probably won't know what the fuck is going on. But I highly recommend you watch the last two episodes.
I mean, that'll get you into the show, if anything.
Yeah, it'll make you want to rewatch all, like, what season are we on? Five?
I
don't know. Yeah, me either. Wow. There's just a ton of them. Ton of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Game of Thrones, awesome.
Awesome indeed. All right, sir, let's go ahead and talk about this week's manga chapters. Woo! Which, for a lot of people, were not that exciting. Let's go ahead and talk about One Piece, because this was a chapter which, you know, we reviewed it, and we liked it. I still stand firm that I liked it a lot. You know, I thought it was a really great setup chapter. It was finally the return of Luffy getting ready to fight against Doflamingo and deflecting the attack from Rebecca, who's been controlled by Doflamingo as well. Just, I loved everything about it, and I don't know why people are complaining about it so much. It's not like it was Bleach bad or anything.
Here's the thing. I stand by that I like this chapter, too, that came out this week. I forget the number, 789.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the reason I stand by it is because the buildup progressed a little bit. Excuse me. And with that in mind, it's still really fun. Maybe it did trick me into seeing the same stuff kind of twice, you know, besides the Violet stuff and the Rebecca stuff. But one, Luffy got back up and is now in the fight. And I don't mind. I was excited about everything that happened in this chapter. So
I especially loved how Gots returned and started like announcing everything about him, and everybody just was completely turned their attention to Gots, and they're just like, oh man, Luffy's about to come back. We just got to push just a little longer, and he's finally going to defeat him. And this might be something that works better in the anime version when they eventually do get to it, but we're just going to have to wait and see. But I thought it was handled really well here, and just I'm so excited for that final battle.
Yeah, absolutely. Another great example of looking better in the anime is today when Obito turned on Madara, and you saw him like pull some of the beast chakra out of that big ball.
It's the singular reason to check out this week's episode.
The
of
singular moment, and then the flashbacks happen. And you can just turn it off, and we'll tell you.
Which, you know,
when
I went into that review knowing that it wasn't going to be the best episode, and I know that not everybody was going to agree with me, and a lot of people don't. A lot of people wanted to see the flashbacks of Obito's grandmother and all those things that we never seen before. But I've said it before, I'll say it again. These are all events which have been implied or something that we really just don't need to know to move the story along. And it surprises me that they're adding so many flashback scenes because the filler is done. The manga is done. We need to start moving more towards the story. There is absolutely no reason to pad this out any longer. And that's not to say that during this arc there weren't any flashbacks. In fact, the episode that they did today, there was a flashback sequence. But they didn't even use it yet. They're going to be saving it for next week's episode. So it's just like, wow, they could have just totally included that in this one right here, and we could have immediately gotten right back to the action in the next episode. But now we're going to have to wait another week. We got no choice.
Yeah, I'm sort of, whatever. And then fucking One Piece is on break next week.
Yeah, every single time something cool is about to happen, we're on break. And I don't know if it's because there's something scheduled in Japan. Maybe Oda just decides he wants a little bit of a vacation. Maybe he's sick.
I think he wants more time to draw panels.
I think that's what he wants to do, too. Because
I don't think anything's bad.
Because as much as we want to believe that a lot of these chapters are like done weeks and months in advance, they're really not. A lot of these things are like South Park episodes where they
probably
work on them to the last second.
Story is outlined a month or two in advance. But I don't think the artwork is done. It's like, okay, so we've decided. We've seen the story progress, and now we're here. How much can we fit in here? Okay, now we're trying to decide how to visually represent this. Who knows? Maybe we're completely wrong. We literally don't know.
That's the thing about waiting for these things. Always like waiting on the edge of your seat for the next chapter.
I don't know, Oda. He hasn't returned our emails. No. You know, fucking guy won't.
And the ones he does return, we can't understand them. They're in Japanese. I mean, seriously. Do you think that the final panel of One Piece this week, they had that one line, which might have been a mistranslation, which is the last Kong. It might be referring to the last Kong punch that Luffy's going to do. Do you think he only has one more technique left in him, or do you think they're going to, you know, go around?
You mean, does he have one more punch or kick to defeat Doflamingo?
Like one more big attack, or do you think maybe a couple more chapters of straight-up good fighting, which is what I want to happen.
Yeah, they need to go all out now. Mm-hmm. There's no more... Like, Doflamingo is a master of using people against each other. Mm-hmm. But I think that's not going to happen anymore, because Luffy's just not going to let him get in the way of bothering, you know, with other people now, because he's going to be in Doflamingo's face. Mm-hmm. So I just think that they got to have just a knockdown brawl for at least three chapters. Mm-hmm. Right?
Something. To be satisfied,
if he just goes Pow Man again and goes boom and just punches him and wins.
I'll be a little disappointed. It depends on how it looks and, like, the effect and what it does. Like, I'm still thinking Luffy's going to end up punching him, like, directly into the birdcage, and he's going to get tangled up in it somehow, and that'll, like, end up destroying both him and the birdcage at the same time. But, I mean, who knows? For all we know, Luffy has another technique that we don't even know about, which I still think would be a nice surprise, and I'm kind of hoping Doflamingo does the same thing as well.
Yeah, I'm sure Doflamingo has some more techniques, mm-hmm. so I'm sure there's something going on there that
and someone left a comment that I thought was kind of interesting last week. You know how they had Princess Mancherry, who's flying around the kingdom and using her Tierdy lions to heal everybody? Someone left this great comment saying, but what about the Don Quixote family? Are they going to be healed by the Tierdy lions?
No, but they were in that building, and they all got stitched together. They're not out.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, don't you remember?
I completely forgot about that. That's what Leo did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he used his weird stitchy power. Okay, so I guess that's not going to happen.
He's like the 80s Naruto's character that had the stitch sword.
There we go.
Remember? You remember that guy? The one seven swordsman of the mist we wanted to actually see do something.
Mm-hmm. They could have done more with him, too. They gave a few of those swordsmen their very own episodes.
A few. Yeah. Not all of them.
Which, you know, I do appreciate. You know, those fillers were good. I liked those fillers. I enjoyed watching all those, especially early on in the war. But the ones we just got done with and the stuff they included in this week's episode. No, thank you.
I literally, like, would sit next to you and watch those episodes, and then be like, I'm not getting in that review.
Yeah, like, it wouldn't take 5 minutes, and you're like, dude, I'm done. I got nothing good to say about that.
Don't put me in front of a camera, because I won't say anything good.
I mean, it'd be better to not have them, because it's just the unmotivation for an episode like that, you know, can destroy the
Thank
entire
God
integrity.
Thank God you do a review, rain or shine, because there would be times...
My goal from the beginning was, when I review Naruto Shippuden, was every episode gets reviewed.
Yeah.
Filler, special. I'll
Everyone
do it.
Says you're like the only one that does that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I can't believe that's true. Like, I mean, Sawyer. And I've seen some crappy episodes. I still think the crappiest filler I've seen was the Konohamaru episode, though, which was the one during the war where they go back to Konoha Village where everybody's off to war and all the moms are back in Konoha and Konohamaru as well. And he ends up fighting against sumo wrestlers, and it's awful. It's just terrible.
That sounds horrible.
That was the episode that I was just like, all right, this is garbage. At least give me the ninja ostrich. Give me something. Like, I'll take him.
The ninja ostrich.
Yeah, who has appeared in way too many episodes, which is just another problem with that. But speaking of Naruto.
The armadillo's a dude.
Yeah. That part in the anime is so ridiculous. They managed to take that scene and like extend it for a whole episode somehow.
Did they show the dong in the anime?
Poorly drawn, yes.
Yeah, that makes it okay if it's just a longer U with a shorter U.
Yeah, basically. Funny thing. Me and my friend Ben, we watch anime all the time. We have an anime night, and one of those nights we watch.
If you guys want Corey's address to go join them, I'll give it to you. Just send me a message.
Yeah. I'm kidding. Don't fucking know. We have Dragon Ball night where we're rewatching currently all of the old Dragon Ball because we're anticipating Super Dragon Ball, which starts July 5th. By the way, get excited for that.
You know that artwork they've showed us in the clips.
Mm-hmm.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
No, I'm making a joke, Corey. Yeah. They haven't showed us shit.
I liked it. The funny thing we've been noticing about watching early Dragon Ball, one, the tone of early Dragon Ball is completely different. And two, one of the biggest obsessions with the animators of Dragon Ball seems to be constantly showing off Goku, Oolong, and Krillin's Wang. Like, all the freaking time. And it got to a point like where we started to almost make a drinking game out of it, how ridiculous it was. And we call it the Bart Simpson dick, because if you remember that one scene from the Simpsons movie, I still can't believe they did that, where they actually show Bart's Wang, and like you said, it's the big U, little U.
Yeah.
And they do it all the time in the original Dragon Ball, and there was a scene where it was like, alright, that tears it, that's enough of this. There was a scene in the very first arc of Dragon Ball where they summon Shenlong for the very first time, and Pilaf's about to make his wish, and Oolong and Puar are trying to stop them from making the wish, and they're both transformed into these bats. And basically, it's just like a bat body with like their head on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Puar's looks fine. Puar's covered with fur. You can't see anything. There's just this big shot front and center of Oolong and his stupid fucking Wang as he's like half transformed into a bat. And we're like, okay, that was unnecessary. Fine. The episode ends. Next episode begins, and they start to do a recap. But it's not like a typical recap where they just show the old episode again. They reanimate everything. And this is one of those episodes where things look a little better than typical. And they literally reanimate the scene from a different angle, still with the Oolong Wang in your face. And it's so annoying. It's so unnecessary. Half the scenes of... If Goku's naked, you better be prepared to see some Goku Wang, because it's going to be all up in your grill. Just... it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Okay. Yeah, they didn't have a problem doing that in the 80s. They were just like, whatever.
And I mean, and the more we watch it too, we're like, there's no way they'd be able to do this, like with modern Dragon Ball or anything. Even with the stuff that Roshi does, good God, is he freaking perverted and early. Because it's been like a good 2 years since I watched the entire original Dragon Ball. And, you know, I like more the second half just because it's a little more action oriented. But the first half, just God, the things Roshi does, man. It's so awful. Like, he should have been arrested so many times just for all the fucked up shit that he does, all the stuff that he does with Bulma and everything. Bulma is no saint either. She's a freaking whore in the first arc. I don't care what anyone says.
Oh, she's not a good person.
It is hilarious. But we're currently watching the very first tournament. Goku and Roshi are actually about to fight. So that's one that I'm looking forward to seeing again. Then, of course, Red Ribbon Saga and beyond. So that's going to be really exciting. But yeah, Dragon Ball Super coming this July, hopefully without Goku, Oolong, and Krillin Wang. That would be nice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Hopefully with more action involved. And this is somehow going to segue into today's Naruto Gaiden chapter, which was action-packed yet again, which is really good because I think they need to get as much action as they can in this story because it's going to be a mini-series. The more I read it, though, it's like, God, they could extend this into something much bigger if they really wanted to. But it seems like they're trying to get really, like, right into the story right now, you know, especially with the events that happened after this week's chapter, because Naruto, Sasuke, and Sakura were fighting against Shin Uchiha, which has officially been confirmed that everybody within the brand new Akatsuki group, they're all named Shin Uchiha, apparently. That one guy who has the eyes all over his body, that's his name. He has his son, who he calls him his son, but I really don't think that's the case.
It's probably, like, his experiment, or, like, his... clone or something like
weird.
That.
My actual thought is that the weird little Jubi creature, all the other members of the Akatsuki, and this brand new Shin Uchiha character, like, they're all, like, a collective consciousness with each other. Like, they all sort of, like, share the same powers and eyes. And, you know, think of it as, like, Ultron. You know, there's, like, multiple Ultrons all over the place. But they're all the same character. There just happens to be one who's kind of, like, the head, the brain of the group.
Yes.
And that's what I feel he is, mostly because he's got the eyes all over his body. But the biggest development from this week's chapter is that not only was he fought and defeated, but they make a quick escape. And they bring Sakura along with them. And we still don't know, like, if... like, Sakura's doing any of this, like, healing her and her son, like, willingly. Like, it's so up in the air at the moment. But I think it's a really interesting development because it can go one of two ways. Sakura can either, A, help out this Shin Uchiha guy and somehow maybe sway him to not be bad anymore.
Yeah, like, kind of power friendship him.
Mm-hmm. Or, B, she's just not going to do it at all and she's going to end up getting captured. And I think that's really lame for a character like Sakura to get captured because it just... I don't know. She's badass. She's like one of the three original group members. So I was hoping for a little more.
She's from like her. The new Sonin, the new group of the three Sonin. Exactly. You know, so.
But still, the action in this week's chapter was great, especially from Sasuke. I thought he was really awesome with his fireball techniques and using his Rinnegan eyes again. First time that we've seen it in Naruto Gaiden.
And again, it shows that Sasuke doesn't get dull in his fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And
Naruto, except for Naruto.
Except for Naruto. Mm-hmm. That's what I was getting at. Naruto is now a leader and has a cushy desk job and is lucky to have Wolverine powers and shit. So,
yeah, because so he pretty much got impaled in this week's chapter by a sword, but he just sort of walks that shit off.
He's like, ah, whatever.
Thank God Kurama's there.
Yeah, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
What movies are you looking forward to next week, Corey?
Oh my God. You're asking that? Yeah. What movie is coming out next week?
Jurassic World.
Jurassic World is coming out. Yeah, yes. I'm looking forward to that movie. I can't wait to see it.
I'm very excited too.
Mm-hmm.
Another movie I'm going to see is Aloha because my girlfriend wants me to see it. Ah, fucking the chick flick with Bradley Cooper. Yeah. You know, she made me promise.
Yeah. You want to know the ending of the movie?
I bet.
I haven't seen it. I can predict.
I bet the girl that he's working with is the girl he ends up with, and he gets over the girl that he used to like, and that's the way it works.
It sounds like Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and that also took place in Hawaii.
It sounds like every chick flick.
Pretty much.
Some
dude
comes with some
baggage. I'm surprised they even went through, like, you know, Bradley Cooper's a pretty big actor. He's been in some amazing movies.
I was like, why is he fucking... Have you seen Silver Lining Playbook? That's a good movie.
No, I haven't.
That's a real good movie. And he's a better actor than chick flick movies. So I was like, come on, man. Like, they made that shit... Jamie Lannister, the guy that plays Jamie Lannister in Game of Thrones, he did a chick flick movie, and it wasn't very good. But I understood why he did it, because he's not very well known in a lot of ways. So it's like, okay, he's a good-looking dude. He does a chick flick movie, you know, cashes in on being a good-looking guy that has some fame right now. But Bradley Cooper doesn't need to do that. That guy's like Brad Pitt level now. Yeah. You know, he's like super big. But, you know, everyone has their price.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you want to hang out in Hawaii for 3 months and get paid $2 million?
Maybe they wanted to, you know... get a little extra money, get a brand new car or something.
Oh,
I don't
my
know.
God. How much money do you think that guy has? He probably literally has over $200 million.
Yeah.
You know what? How much money is Bradley Cooper worth?
Oh, God. Here we go. Money bags Bradley Cooper. I hope they actually pay them with big sacks of money with a big money sign on the front. Have you ever wanted to be paid that way? Like, never?
It doesn't do anything for me.
I just think it's hilarious. You see it in cartoons all the time. Just a big sack of money.
I just want that in my fucking...
Oh, I love it. Aloha with Emma, and not just Emma Stone and Bradley Cooper.
No, he's actually not worth as much as I thought. He's only worth $60
million. Oh, darn. Only $60 million.
That's a fucking fuck ton, but it's not like... Like, who do you think is worth more than that?
Like modern actors, like in a lot of movies right now? Tom Cruise.
Okay, let's look at what Tom Cruise.
You know, especially with the new Mission Impossible coming out, which I just saw the trailer for that today. I completely forgot about that coming out. A lot of...
Whoa.
Probably pretty crazy, huh?
About $450
million. $450 million.
What about Tom Hanks?
That's a disturbing amount of money. Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, Colin Hanks.
$350? Yeah.
That's still pretty good. Tom Hanks is a class act actor, and considering that they both kind of been around since the same era, I think they both came out of the 80s.
You know, what's the difference between $450 million and $350 million?
An outstanding $100 million.
Yeah, but what can you not have? You know, like...
It's true. Like, even with the whole, you know, Bradley Cooper having a $60 million, like...
Fuck
that's
it.
That's such a disturbing amount of money.
You pretty much could just stop working.
Yeah, I would.
Take most of it and invest it, or put it in a bank account so you get like... Like, if you had like $50 million and you put it in a bank account that earned you interest, you'd make about $15,000 a day.
Yeah.
So as long as you never spent more than $15,000 a day, you'd never run out of your original money that you had in the bank.
And how in the hell are you going to spend that much unless you're just spending your money like an idiot?
Yeah.
Know? I mean, just, it's not going to work that way.
Everyone, if you're out there, I'm okay with having $50 million.
Yeah.
So I just want to put that out
there. What I would do is if I won like $50 million, I would take I'd say $40 million of it.
Yeah.
Put it away. And use the 10 and just go crazy.
And then just go crazy?
Just go nuts.
But see, you don't need to take the 10 because you can just
I don't even need the 10. I'll take 5.
Yeah, but that's even the thing. You don't need the $5 million. You just need to wait 3 months and you'll have $50,000 off interest. And then you can do whatever you want with that. And you don't even need to touch your original money. It's crazy.
If I had that money, I would just do super commie the rest of my life. I would never do anything else. I would just talk about anime and the stuff I like and, you know, invest in, like, more studio equipment and stuff and try to make this, like, just a big production podcast show.
Make this a baller thing.
That we could just groove on and have fun with every week and just never have to worry about shit. I'd, you know, let my parents retire with a little more money. I'd give some to my family, you know. Some of my select friends.
Yeah, I'd probably, like, pay off my parents' house and shit just to be nice and stuff like that. But I wouldn't drive a crazy car. Do you know Ferraris fucking break down all the time? They're not reliable cars.
And it's not
they're
like
shitty
you can
cars.
Just pull your, you know, Ferrari into like the local
car dealer to get
and
fixed.
They're just like, oh yeah, I know how to handle that shit. No, one, the minute they see that car, the first thing they're going to do is their labor is about to go up. They're going to jack you up like crazy.
I just would want a really nice fucking, I don't know, like a really nice brand new like Honda Accord or a fucking maybe a Cadillac or some crazy shit.
I mean, I want a neon green Mustang with a black stripe down the middle.
That's what you want?
Yeah.
That doesn't say, look at me. That's the same thing as that chick that got kicked out of AWA with bitches, the big
Mustangs
old titties.
But Mustangs aren't that crazy. You know? I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't want like a Corvette or anything.
I'm just saying it says look at me.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. It's just.
But like, I mean, I've always wanted like just a
I'm just cosplaying. I don't know why everyone has to look at me all sexualized. Sorry.
It's a boobus.
The
boobs.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
man.
Right.
Oh, we had the time. We should totally put in the boobs clip right here.
Yeah, we might.
Boobs. Anyway.
Before we get to awkward improv, I just want to give you one more thing today, which is just something that's kind of funny. I think Japan has made a bad move here because they've just decided to make Godzilla a Japanese citizen.
Okay.
After 61 years, Godzilla officially has his papers, and he's a Japanese citizen, and there's just a very funny picture of a very small, tiny Godzilla being sashed right here, and just, they're dooming themselves, man! They're keeping him within the country now, he's going to destroy everything! Oh, but this is clearly all a promotion for all the new Godzilla stuff which is getting ready to come out. There's going to be a Japanese Godzilla movie, and there's going to be an American Godzilla movie coming out in a couple of years after Gareth Edwards finishes up with his whole brand new Star Wars spinoff movie, which is going to be awesome. And just speaking of Star Wars, just there's still so much information coming about that. Andy Serkis's character, they just revealed who he is.
Oh,
they haven't
really?
Like shown what he's going to be. He's going to be this character by the name, and this is a weird name, but then again, it's Star Wars. They get away with this shit. His name is Snoke. S-N-O-K-E. Snoke. And he's going to be a CG character of some kind because that's what Andy Serkis does.
I saw a behind-the-scenes picture of him like covering
like,
all the dots
like
and stuff.
He's like sitting on this throne looking all badass and everything.
Maybe he's like a Boba Fett type character.
It's possible. You know, he could be a bounty hunter. He's clearly going to be someone.
No, not Boba Fett. I mean, who's the guy that's sitting on the throne that had... I know I should know his name. I'm sorry. The guy that sent...
You mean Emperor Palpatine?
No. I'm talking about the guy that sentenced the guy to go to Carbonite. Why am I forgetting everyone's name? Not Boba Fett. Who
Darth Vader?
No.
I mean, the people who put Han Solo in Carbonite was Darth Vader and Boba Fett.
Who's the one that put the bitch in the costume? In the bikini.
You mean Jabba the Hutt?
Yes, a Jabba the Hutt character.
Okay, maybe he could be that.
Like
for all we know, he's a Hutt.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be a Hutt. Yeah. He could just be... You know, some dirty warlord, you know, big CGI character like that, you know, some Jabba the Hutt character.
But I'm really intrigued to see what he's going to do, because in the very first teaser for Force Awakens, it was his voice who was doing the narration.
Uh-huh.
So everybody's been trying to figure out, like, what does that voice fit with? How's that going to work? Hopefully they don't ever reveal what his character will look like until the movie is officially out. I still want there to be a little more mystery behind this. But again, just more amazing Star Wars movie news. It's going to be a great year for that movie.
Okay. I'm pretty excited about the new Star Wars, but nowhere near as much as you. I mean, I know that. I'm not going to even...
For me, it's still movie of the year, without a doubt.
You haven't even seen it.
And Imgur? With that, it's time for Awkward Imgur Readings. That's right, Awkward Imgur Readings. We're going to take a look at some awesome pictures from Imgur or Injur or Imgur, Injur, whatever it's called. They don't really say. What I will say is we will put these pictures up on screen so you guys can see with us. So we're going to go ahead and start from the beginning. So our first picture today are these two girls sitting on the beach. And the text reads, "This bitch boyfriend ain't even unlocked yet."
You got it?
Not really, no.
Because, you know, when you're trying to pick an item in a video game, it'll be blacked out when you can't get it yet.
Okay, but that's pretty clever. I kind of thought that at first, like when you have the character select screen,
yeah,
and
but
you only have a few characters, but the characters aren't unlocked, they have a black silhouette.
Yeah.
This dude, you can't even see him whatsoever. So he ain't even unlocked
yet. Not properly exposed.
Yeah, okay. Okay, this next one is this woman sleeping on a train, Alaska, Nebraska, at Alaska, Nebraska. This bitch be dreaming out. And she has the chicken sandwich above her head in a thought bubble. That's amazing.
Yes.
So mean, too.
Yes.
Because this woman is now going to be immortalized online forever for this chicken sandwich.
Well, she's dreaming out loud.
Yeah. Know? All right, that one's really good.
This next one's kind of fucked up.
All right, this next one is pretty weird. All right, it's this dude who's just decked out in SpongeBob gear. And it says, "When you see a fine-ass girl, but she says she's only 13, and he is down." That is so messed up. Super Comedy Guru 9000 does not endorse this. But it is funny looking.
But it is part of the podcast.
God, even the headband, it's got little SpongeBob
eyes.
If
you think that was bad, wait till you get to the next one.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. We have all the Dragon Balls, and Admin Fred just said, "I'm about to bring back Trayvon, y'all." I hate that you made me read that.
I'm sorry, guys. It's too good. It's too good.
I mean, within the context of Dragon Ball Z, they could make that happen.
He only died once.
We just lost half our viewers because of that one right there. Okay. Next one. We have a cat who's in a ripped bag of Chinese food, and it reads, "When the Chinese food is undercooked." Where in the hell did the whole myth about Chinese restaurants cooking cats come from? Like, is that a thing in China?
Yeah.
Like, do they eat cats?
They eat everything.
Like, just if it walks and it breathes and they can somehow process it into food, they will eat it.
Yeah, it's meat.
That is fucked up.
I had a Chinese girlfriend. You remember her?
Yeah.
I don't want to say her name. Mm-hmm. But she was from China. She, mm-hmm. like, moved here when she was 16. Yeah. And she said she'd go to her cousin's house and play with their cat. And then one time they called her and said, "Hey, we're going to cook our cat." And she's like, and they're like, "Do you want to come over and eat it with us?" And she's like, "No, I played with that cat. Yeah. I don't want to fucking eat your cat."
Oh, my God.
And they said it was good.
That's fucked up. It always reminds me of this one joke that they use a lot in Robot Chicken. It's a recurring joke. Whenever they mention, like, a famous character or a famous toy that disappeared, they always show them walking in this back alley completely drunk, and then this door opens and a guy from a Chinese restaurant grabs them and then pulls them in.
Oh, my God.
Every single time. So, yeah, there we go. Don't eat kitties. Okay, next one, it looks like Goku and Gohan doing their father-son Kamehameha. And it reads, "When your dad is on your side at the parent teacher conference." Yeah, that is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I barely ever remember parent teacher conferences back in the day. I don't even think we had them.
I did.
You know, I think they had like the big assembly where all the parents come.
No, we had,
but I never had
things.
Like a one-on-one like thing.
Me, my mom, my teacher. Ooh. You never had that?
No.
I had that all the time. Okay.
All right, next one, which is going to, oh my God, the guys from, oh my God, it's Wayne Brady. All right, it's the guys from Who's Line, and let's see. I don't need any context, and I think that's true. They look like Cuban Pete from The Mask.
Yes.
Cuban Pete. Because I'm Cuban Pete, I do the rumba beat. Chicky boom. All right, here we go. Shit almost got real. Spent 30 minutes looking through the trash for this packet to prove to my girl the corner wasn't from a condom wrapper. That's true, man. The little, like, seasoning packets.
Yeah.
They do kind of look like a condom package, especially when you rip off that corner. That's funny as shit.
Yep.
Man, I feel bad for that guy.
He's dating the wrong girl.
I mean, I feel bad for him for a number of reasons. One, he's dating the wrong girl. And two, he's having to dig through the trash to find a fucking seasoning packet.
for ramen
noodles. This guy's life is not that great. Here we go. We got this next one. We have what appears to be Lego, Darth Vader, and Stormtrooper.
Uh-huh.
And it says, "Try and get on my dark side." Is that Vader taking a selfie?
He's got a selfie stick.
He's got a selfie stick lightsaber. That's lame. I hate Every time I say selfie, I die a little inside.
Okay.
And I knew it really, like, jumped the shark when I heard my dad say it for the first time.
You were like, no.
Yeah, both him and my mom, I was talking to them on the phone. He's like, my mom's like, yeah, me and your dad just took a selfie together. I was just like, oh, my God. So, yeah, that's when I'm done with it. Okay, so the next one is Kung Fury related, which I love.
Yes.
Which is the character of Hackerman. When resetting the router fixes the problem. Hackerman. That's right. I love Hackerman. That's one of my favorite things about that movie. Whenever they introduce the characters, they do the title card thing.
Yeah.
And they all have like a distinct style and music that they play. Like he's got like that sort of like 80s, you know,
gold,
techno-y.
Gold, kinda. Shiny. I don't know what the hell. It's not gold. Mm-hmm. It's silvery. It's awesome. What do you think is the next one, Corey?
All right. Next one. Here we go. Okay. Singing. We have two Wee Wheels in the car. We will rock you. Wonderful. Wii Wheels. I've never used them anymore. I used them for a whole 5 minutes when I played Mario Kart Wii back in the day.
Okay, so this next one, it reads from top to bottom.
Top to bottom on the next one. Here we go. Let's see.
Troll Level Master.
Troll Level Master. We have some fruits and donuts. You must choose. You have chosen poorly. Oh, man. That's fucked up, man. They put all those healthy snacks in the donut box?
Yeah.
Jeez. It really, you know, I'm not... I would have gone for the fruit bowl after seeing all that shit.
Yep.
Ugh, nasty. and that's the guy from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, I think.
Yeah, the guy that's in the room with all the...
Like, choose the Holy Grail.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, we have Piccolo, who looks really freaking freaked out. He's about to be blasted. When it's dark and you turn on your phone and the brightness is on max. Yeah.
You ever get blinded?
That's what happens to me every night, like, before I go to bed. Like, I have a ritual.
Yeah.
As soon as I get in bed, lights are all off. And then I turn on my phone, it always. And I never think about it. So, yeah, that's totally true. That happens to me on, like, a daily basis. We have what looks like young Vegeta fighting against a group of Cybermen.
They're
all getting ready to be blasted away. And it reads... When all the ugly bitches try to flirt with you, bah! Just destroy them all. Don't we need key powers so we can get rid of the grenades in the room? Okay, here we go. We got Professor Samuel Oak. Who knows that it's Samuel Oak except for me and, you know, the entire Pokemon fan base. We have three pictures of him, which are all funny. When you're trying to decide which selfie is best. God dang it. I like the thumbs up one. Go with that one, Professor Oak. You rock, sir. All right, here we go. We have Frieza in his third form, and it reads, when you're halfway soft, and she says, wow, it's so big, and then it reads, you fool, this isn't even my final form. That's gross. I didn't really like that one very much.
This last one's a classic, but hilarious.
I've never seen it, so it's new to me. Yeah. It's this little, adorable little baby with little boxing gloves. He's sitting there. It says, pray for my... baby cousin, he's only 3 months. Nothing wrong with him. He's just ugly as hell. Aw, that's not fair. He's so adorable with a little boxing gloves. That's amazing.
It's kind of an ugly baby.
All right, so there we go. That was some more awkward Imgur.
Corey made it through again. Just so you guys know, I choose all these that I think will embarrass Corey the worst, and then we make him read them live. Mm. And awkwardness ensues from Imgur. So,
Yes. Therefore,
awkward Imgur. Anyway, okay, I'll wrap this bitch up. Thank you guys again so much for watching. We really do appreciate it. Not going to lie. Like, we wouldn't do this if we weren't getting some views.
Mm-hmm.
Or else it'd just be Corey and I hanging out in a room alone talking into microphones and pretending we were important.
Mm.
But we actually really liked this one. I did, actually, Corey. Mm-hmm. I thought that we – I love talking about the manga, but I felt like we did more than that this time. Mm-hmm. Love that.
We want to try to talk about the manga because we know you guys want to hear about that. That's always one of your biggest questions.
Uh-huh.
But remember, we do review all of those, so make sure to check those out because we go through them very thoroughly from beginning to end.
Yeah, I think this podcast is more supposed to be a broader stroke than just anime.
That's not to say that we're not going to talk about them, but it's probably going to be one of the shorter segments each week. Unless just something insane
happens.
Completely goes down. In which case, you know, nothing's happened quite yet, especially to say the least in Bleach.
Anyway, you guys, if you like these episodes, please make sure and give us a thumbs up. Please make sure to subscribe to the channel. Please make sure to follow us on social media. You can donate through the PayPal link. You can support us with the Amazon link if you want to just shop with Amazon. Most of us do. I buy a bunch of stuff on Amazon. If you just buy it through that link, though, we get like a little cut of that, and Amazon's happy that we sent you there. So.
And please give us your viewer questions and suggestion topics. We want to hear from you guys because you guys make this show possible.
Absolutely. And again, you guys, thank you so much for watching. And until next time, stay dandy, baby.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.